listening to His Time. I'm Eddie Bates. It is Friday morning. That means it is time for Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
Blessed Friday morning. What do we have for Creation Club today?
Well, there was something that appeared online a few weeks ago here at the beginning of June. There was a young man who is an engineering student at Columbia University, and he also lives in the Cincinnati area, and he wrote an opinion piece for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and at the end of his opinion piece, where he was commenting on the building of the Ark by Answers in Genesis and the Ark encounter, he says, "It is in our best interest as a society to disallow the existence of institutions such as this and collectively decide not to tolerate ignorance of the natural world." Wow, what a statement. Is his statement on target or way off base? Well, let's consider that. So you may find his original article if you go to the Cincinnati.com. That's the place for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and his opinion piece was posted there June 1st of 2016. His title is "Ark Makes U.S. Look Ignorant," and then Ken Ham responded to that on the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org, on June the 2nd, and the title of his piece is "Local Student Advocates Intolerance of Christianity." So I'm just going to read to you sections from Ken Ham's piece, and then maybe we can add our own commentary as time permits. He says, "Now as we get close to the opening of the Ark Encounter on July 7, just as when we built the Creation Museum, we have been seeing an increasing number of intolerant secularists who oppose the religious freedoms we have all enjoyed in this nation. Recently, a resident of Northern Kentucky, Carlos Ramirez, who is a sophomore at Columbia University in New York, wrote an anti-ARC opinion piece that appeared in today's, that's June 2nd, Cincinnati Inquirer, and it was posted to the paper's website on June the 1st. The student makes a number of unfounded false statements about what we as Christians believe and how the ARC is being funded. He ended his piece with this very alarming, highly intolerant comment: "It is in our best interest as a society to disallow the existence of institutions such as this and collectively decide to not tolerate ignorance of the natural world." This college student is essentially calling for the culture to abandon the First Amendment guarantee of the freedom of religion and its free exercise because he disagrees with our beliefs about origins based on the Bible. Obviously, influenced by evolution, this young man states, quote, "When the United States is already lagging behind many prominent nations in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, the creation of the Ark can only be detrimental to our nation's standing because of the false information it presents." End of quotation. Ken Ham responds by saying, "Carlos, I have a few things for you to consider. Number one, name one thing that your belief about origins has to do with the developing technology. Number two, come up with one way a person's belief about origins has anything to do with engineering. Number three, and name one way your belief concerning origins has anything to do with mathematics." Now, I would say that there actually is a connection of sorts, and it is this. The reason we can develop technology, gain engineering skills, and do math is because we accept the laws of nature, the uniformity of nature, and laws of logic that cannot be explained by natural processes. They only make sense within a biblical worldview of a creator God who brought those laws into existence. Does Carlos really understand what he's saying when he declares that the Ark will somehow contribute to a decline in society's advancement? For one, he does not understand the difference between belief, historical science like origins, and empirical science, observational science, that helps develop technology. Actually, his thinking is typical of the millennial generation that has been brainwashed in evolutionary thinking. He's advocating that the culture stop Christians, who believe God's word, beginning in Genesis, from being able to freely proclaim their beliefs in the culture. Is he also making similar claims about Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Orthodox Jews, and the list could go on, or is he only fighting against Bible-believing Christians? Sadly, young men like Carlos are representative of the millennials who have been indoctrinated in the religion of secularism and brainwashed into thinking that anyone who disagrees with their enlightened beliefs is a hindrance to the culture, and that people must disallow the existence of the Ark so that they can impose their own secular worldview on the population. Christians, please wake up. This young man represents the next generation. His beliefs and intolerance are a consequence of a secular education and a lack of understanding of the nature of science. Such thinking has even entered Christian homes and churches. This new generation, by and large, doesn't just want their views tolerated, they also want opposing views eliminated. The freedoms the West once enjoyed are being lost as the culture becomes unhinged, with increasing numbers of people building their foundations on man's fallible opinions instead of God's infallible word. Oh, and Carlos, please get your facts straight. The Ark is totally privately funded. No, that is, zero state taxes were used in its construction, as you falsely claimed when you wrote, quote, "When state taxes are paying for an institution that preaches false information threatening our understanding of the natural world, it is necessary to decide the extent of our toleration," end of quote. At least Carlos admits that ultimately his debate with us is about a conflict of beliefs. His belief, presumably based on evolution, about the natural world versus the account of origins given in Scripture. And yes, his blatant intolerance of a belief that is differing to his own is very telling. I trust he will see his hypocrisy and he will be tolerant enough to allow Christians to exercise the liberties afforded them by the U.S. Constitution and to enjoy the same freedoms he does. And then at the end of the piece by Ken Ham, he has a link to the article at the Cincinnati Inquirer. So that appeared, the thing I read to you was from Ken Ham on answersingenesis.org. He posted this on June 2nd, 2016. Local student advocates intolerance of Christianity, and the link to the article was the opinion piece by Carlos Ramirez, and his piece was in the Cincinnati Inquirer on June 2nd, posted online June 1st. So that's a pretty important thing to bear in mind, particularly, you know, as we reflect on the events that have happened in the last few weeks, you know, the shootings in Orlando and other things, and everybody jumps online and has to spout off their ideas of things. And one of those ideas, it's shocking to me, was that though the alleged shooter in that incident was not a Christian, yet there were people, even allegedly people from the ACLU, who were blaming Christians for the climate that is anti-LGBTQ and the laws, of course, that Christian groups have tried to get passed because of the increasing restriction of our freedoms based on the Supreme Court decision from 1 year ago, where by a very narrow majority the Supreme Court approved same-sex marriage, and in so doing, then it opens the floodgates for people to say, well, now you must do what we say in this regard, and we will no longer tolerate that you believe, or certainly that you practice what you believe. You know, it's one, they say it's one thing for you if you want to believe in your heart that homosexuality is wrong, or that you want to believe in your heart that Jesus is the only way to heaven, or you want to believe in your heart that the world was created by God 6,000 years ago. But don't you dare do anything in the public realm where anybody else will be bothered by you. It's like, keep that to yourself. You can't do this outside the four walls of your church. And so, yes, a lot of Christians are saying, we've got to stop this intolerance on the part of the secular humanists and the people who reject Christianity and say, wait a minute, you know, this country has, for a couple hundred years, had the Bill of Rights, and we certainly want to be able to enjoy our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, and so forth, and should not surrender these just because some people think our views are wrong, and therefore they will not tolerate them anymore. So this young man's comments, you know, this is an intelligent young man at a prestigious Ivy League school saying that we should not tolerate, as a society, that people should be allowed to talk about these things because, in his opinion, we're just promoting ignorance of the natural world.
You know, when we're talking about a difference in beliefs, you've mentioned this before. When we talk about this worldview regarding evolution, that quite in and of itself is a religion.
That it is. You know, so just as much as people don't want Christianity to be a religion that is the state religion in the United States, it's kind of flipped around so that now Christianity is a religion that the state will not tolerate, and the unofficial state religion is a secular humanism, where the views that are imposed on us by the state and enforced, even with fines and punishment, are those of a secular humanist worldview. And foundational to that is a belief in millions and billions of years, molecules to man evolution, there's no need for God, creation is not true, the Bible is not true, and with that whole secular humanistic worldview, you know, you demolish the whole structure of your understanding of where we came from, to whom we're accountable, and that means also morality goes away. You know, people will say, you know, you don't need God to be good, and yet when people abandon the biblical understanding of God as creator and redeemer and so forth and adopt their atheistic or agnostic views based on their views of where we came from with a molecules to man evolution belief, you know, it doesn't take long for morality to go by the wayside as well. Anything goes, you know, so why shouldn't we have sex any which way we want? Who's going to tell us we're wrong? You know, what about killing babies in the womb, or even killing newborns, or killing old people, or people with brain injuries, or serious illnesses? You know, you can go down the line. There's all kinds of things that, you know, if you're going by man's contaminated reason, contaminated by sin, our reason is not, you know, holding to God's standard any longer. And so sinful man wants to be God himself, and why shouldn't I kill people if it seems in my best interest? Why shouldn't I do whatever I want with my body? Nobody else can tell me what to do with my body. And you go down the list. When it comes to a property, and the seventh commandment, you know, you shall not steal. Well, if I think that we should take from the rich and spread it around to other people, why not? If it makes sense to me, we'll do that. And you just kind of go down through the commandments, and sinful man casts them all aside and thinks he has a better idea rather than recognizing that God's ways are best. And the one who made us and who has redeemed us is the one who has every right to tell us how to live, and certainly knows better than we the better way. So this is quite alarming, and yet as Christians we don't want to give up hope either, because after all today is the nativity of St. John the Baptist, and as Christians and who know that God created us, we also know that he sent Jesus to be our Savior and sent John the Baptizer as the one, as the forerunner of our Savior Jesus Christ, to prepare the way, calling all people to repentance. And at the birth of John, John's father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." And what a wonderful thing that is to know. So even though there may be enemies in our day, and maybe more enemies yet to come, we know that in Christ our Savior, the Lord has delivered us from the hand of our enemies, and we can serve him without fear, trusting in his holy word and knowing that his holy word is true from the very beginning. So what God tells us in Holy Scripture about creation, the fall into sin, the flood of Noah's day, and so on, is absolutely true and correct, and we can trust it, just as we know and believe all that the Scripture tells us about Jesus our Savior, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and raised again for us, for our salvation. And you know, we who believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us, believe also, as he did, in the reliability of what God said through his prophet Moses about where we came from and what that means, how that's foundational for how we look at the world, how we live our lives, and what God said in Genesis certainly finds its fulfillment in Jesus, the Son of God, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you, Pastor Wirth. Another great Creation Club.
My pleasure. God be with you.
And also with you.